Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Lust is something practically everyone deals with. But dealing with lust isn't the real problem. It's not dealing with lust that's the real issue. Our society is so drenched in lust and lustful images that we tend to get used to it. Then the next step is we don't really think it's that bad. And then we just assimilate it into our world. This is the place that many, many Christians are in. And because they don't look any worse than anyone else, they don't really think they have to change or that they have to deal with it. However, God's word is plain in the matter. Jesus said, if we even look at someone with lust, we have committed adultery. That's a pretty high standard, isn't it? That's pretty unrealistic. Does God really expect us to deal with and overcome the lust in our lives? Find out the answer to that pertinent question in a few minutes right here on Skies Revival Radio. Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. Last week, we began dealing with one of the most pertinent and difficult subjects facing us today, the subject of lust. It is an area that most, if not all, people struggle with, so it's important that we take a close look at it while we are examining the seventh commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." This commandment is so far-reaching because Jesus tells us clearly in the Sermon on the Mount that adultery is not just an act. It is a thought. It is a heart attitude. It is lust. When he brings it down to lust, that is when it becomes very personal to us. We are in a completely lust-drenched society. Lustful images are used to sell everything from toothpaste to potato chips. We are inundated with lust-stimulating images everywhere we turn, all over the internet, in every store. Lust-evoking images fill our world. And this doesn't take into account the people around us who dress in a way that is so sensual that a nation of the past would think that our whole culture was a society of prostitutes. Our Super Bowl halftime? Do you think that's harmless entertainment? Does God think that's normal behavior? Is that acceptable to God? Will that sort of thing be in heaven? If we have any desire to be in heaven ourselves, we better think carefully before we indulge in things that are condemned by God's word. So let's get back to Jesus' words that adultery is in reality having a lustful heart. This takes things to a whole new level, and that level is God's standard. Some people and some churches actually try to address the issue of pornography. And I'm glad whenever I see any strides being made in this area. Some churches have men's groups and even women's groups now to try to address this and to set up accountability groups to get free from pornography. These are good steps, but it goes so far beyond indulging in pornography online. And that's important to know because we could think that because we're not watching X or triple X things online that we're okay. That's not so. The word Jesus gives us is if we even look at someone with lust, we have committed adultery. Think of this in light of the video games that you play. Think of this in the light of the entertainment that you see. Think about this when you go to all the different places on the internet. These things are filled with the images that evoke lust in us, and they're intended to do so, and we are only too glad to be part of that. So it is not good enough if, for those who have made strides against pornography, and I'm glad if you have, but it goes so far beyond that. God wants to do a thorough work in our hearts. He wants to make us blameless, innocent children of God in the midst of a perverse generation. That's Philippians chapter 2. That's a pretty high aspiration, isn't it? And God wants you to be part of it. He wants you to be one of those blameless, innocent children of God. So how do you do that? How can we possibly be really pure in our hearts in the midst of this perverse culture that we live in? Well, that's the question, and it's probably the most important question in your life right now, because you have an enemy, and Satan is attacking those who love God ferociously. He is truly a roaring lion, seeking whom he would devour. And the way he devours Christians is by attacking them with lust. So if you love God, then you are in a pitched battle. The devil will attack you with overwhelming sensuality. He will try to make you complacent about it, like it's really not that bad. Yes, it is that bad, and we must fight for our lives to get free from lust. It's not okay. Lust is one of the most destructive forces on earth. We went through the Bible's list of the inescapable consequences of the sin of lust last week. It will bring us into the dust. It will destroy our wealth. It will destroy our health. It will bring us to hell. It will destroy our most cherished relationships. If you weren't part of our lesson last week, it's well worth reviewing. If you type Skies Revival Radio into your search, our site will come up. Click on the previous messages page and go to lesson 25 of the Narrow Gate series. We're going through a book called through the narrow gate, the surprising door to radiant life. It's also available in book form, which you can get cheaply on Amazon if you'd prefer. So, how do we get free from sexual sin? How do we get free from the spirit of lust? How can we actually become those blameless children of God? Well, the next question is, how do we get saved? How do we receive Christ as our Savior? It is by repentance and faith in Jesus. We come to Jesus by confessing our sins. That's what it means to repent. We go to God in honesty and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please help me. Please forgive me and help me get out of this swamp of sin. I can't get out. I need your help. I receive you into my heart. I make you the Lord of my life. And this is how it begins. It begins through repentance and then by believing that Jesus really does care, that he really did die for us, that he really did purchase for us a new life and a new heart. It is through faith in Jesus that we receive the forgiveness of our sins and the cleansing from our sin. So when we are trying to get free from sin, it's the same thing as when we receive Christ. It comes through repentance. It comes from repenting every time we sin. Every time we commit the sin of lust. So the road to freedom, amazingly, comes through repentance. As we hear this message and the Holy Spirit convicts us of our lustful sins, we simply need to address them. This is no condemning message. This is a message of hope. Ask God to help get your thoughts and your eyes under control. Tell him honestly of your struggles. Ask his forgiveness and then ask for his help. This is a real prayer of personal revival. This is the real thing. Revival isn't some happy emotion. It's coming to grips with the sin that is in our lives and confessing it. Then, by faith, we receive God's cleansing. It doesn't come overnight. It's something we have to be persistent in. What we do and what we recommend is to monitor our thoughts during the day. And every time we see a lustful image and then dwell on it, run to God and repent. If you want to increase your prayer life, this is a good way to do it. You may stumble 1,000 times in a day in this area, but if you repent 1,001 times, you will still be covered by the precious blood of Jesus. You'll be blameless in his sight. You see, the grace of God is an ocean to those who repent. It is inexhaustible. It covers every stain, every sin, no matter how often we stumble, as long as we get up, run to God, and say, Lord, forgive me and help me and cleanse me. But make no mistake about it, God's grace does not cover unconfessed sin. Meaning, it doesn't cover sin that we gloss over. But as we repent and ask forgiveness, we have the blessed assurance of God's word in 1 John chapter 1. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and merciful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all iniquity. Taking this scripture and holding firm to it is the key to getting free from lust and becoming yourself a blameless, innocent child of God. And why is overcoming lust so important? Because lust is the opposite of love. And since God is love, it is also the opposite of God. The two are mutually exclusive. Lust is utterly selfish. It is only thinking of ourselves. Love is totally unselfish, only thinking of the other person. To try to enjoy the gift of sex without love or God is impossible. Since God is, in fact, the author and creator of sex, when he is left out, it becomes empty and completely unsatisfying. Why is it not satisfying? Love and its author have been left out. This is one of those built-in penalties that abound in the universe. Lust is completely contrary to love. Lust is totally selfish. It's totally self-centered. Instead of being with a person, you are with something that is there to gratify your own desires. When the partner on each side is only treating the other as an object, we now have got a complete thwarting of the pleasure of intimacy. You see, intimacy was created to be with God and with love, and with God, it is wonderful and beautiful. But when we have intimacy with only selfishness, with only lust, then it becomes utterly empty and devoid of pleasure. C.S. Lewis deals with this subject handily. He explains that the devil's way to fill us with lust is by giving us a taste of something sinful. Then, the more the lust increases, the less gratification he gives. It's called the law of diminishing returns. The more you indulge in lust, the less satisfying it becomes. The devil's glory is to get humans to the point where they are all lust and no gratification. Then they are in hell. C.S. Lewis says the very fires of hell will be burning passions with no gratification. So the devil goes about his work tempting the whole world with endless longings for people they shouldn't be with. He makes it an overwhelming desire. He makes it intoxicating. He doesn't let anyone see the real consequences, which always follow. He tries to cover up the broken homes, the multiple mothers and fathers, the endless fights, the abuse. But most of all, he doesn't want anyone to know ahead of time that they are trading it all for nothing. There will be no gratification in that lustful relationship that seems so enticing to you right now. It is an illusion, nothing more, nothing less, that is deceiving us. But on the other side is something wonderful and humorous, and that is, where God is present, the physical relationship of a married couple is satisfying beyond anything the world has ever dreamed of. So the heated passion displayed on the screens in Hollywood is, in fact, only acting. But real godly romance is found in the most unassuming homes. The little godly housewife that the world would never look at twice will often enjoy supreme satisfaction, while the world would look on with envy if they knew. I love how God does that. The satisfaction in the relationship comes from the true love, which is demonstrated by loving and enjoying the pleasure you are giving to your spouse, something which lust cannot do. God's blessing is on faithful marriages, and he rewards them in all ways, including in the area of physical love. The thrill is not an extramarital affair. The real thrill is in carefully cultivating love in marriage. It's disturbing to find much teaching in the church today that actually encourages lust in marriage. The reasoning is that if it's within the context of marriage, anything goes. That's not true. Why? Because lust is the opposite of love and destroys love. Lust is selfish. Love is unselfish. As we go into a marriage relationship and carry out our lustful thoughts and behavior, we will inevitably, invariably, bring great hurt and heartbreak to our spouse. That kind of lustful relationship won't stand because lust is selfishness in its most impure form. Avoid lust at all cost. Pursue love. That is the quickest way to have a fulfilling relationship. To be pitied most are those who go from one lustful relationship to another with no commitment. They are in the final stages before hell. They are desperately seeking the thrill of lust, but it eludes them. With each new partner, the satisfaction gets less and less, and as they get older, it becomes truly pathetic. Many of you know this. Many of you have seen it. Probably many have experienced it. True satisfaction is found in faithful marriage relationships. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, please deliver us from the spirit of lust. Lord, please make our eyes to be clean and our hearts to be pure. Help us, Lord, to become those blameless, innocent children of God in the midst of this perverse generation. Lord, we need your help. We need your cleansing. We need your fire to burn these things up in us. Lord, we ask forgiveness and we ask for your help. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and is available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they're supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
Thank you. Jehoshaphat went walking, and he saw a fearful sight. The enemy had gathered and surrounded in the night. Well, he gathered up the singers, said to sing with all their might. They praised the Lord with gladness, put the enemy to flight. Rise up and sing in the morning, courageous in the veil. Rise up and sing in the morning, his mercies never fail. So take a tip from David, call upon the Lord in prayer. It's Jesus to the rescue, your burdens he will bear. Rise up and sing in the morning.